For my part one homily, today I'm going to be speaking on what is called the fraction right. And the fraction right is a somewhat hidden part of the Mass because it occurs at the same time as we sing the Lamb of God. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Now, to start with that, though, the singing of the Lamb of God is really important because it reminds us of what Jesus is and does for us. Now, the words themselves that we say, again, the Mass is so scriptural, the words themselves are repeating the words of John the Baptist, who upon seeing Jesus in the wilderness says, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." So we have those words echoed in two parts of the Mass. One, when we sing the Lamb of God, and the second time is when the priest holds up the host and says, "Behold the Lamb of God," as well. Now, in addition, in the Old Testament, we hear of Aaron, the priest, offering animals up for sacrifice in reparation for the sins of the people. And so there's a belief that the people could transfer their sins to this animal, which would then be killed in sacrifice, or would be sent to wander into the desert. Now, that last piece is actually pretty interesting because, again, it is in the wilderness in which John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God. And so in a sense, it could be a reference to that animal that was the sins were placed upon and sent into the wilderness. It could be a recognition of Jesus being in the wilderness is that Lamb, that one for whom our sins are placed on and who will be sacrificed for us. And so all of that is just in that phrase of singing the Lamb of God. But as the Lamb of God is being sung, and again, this is after the consecration, you will see the priest, and he will break the host in half, and then he will break another smaller piece off and place a piece of the host into the chalice. And as he does this, he says this prayer: "May this mingling of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ bring eternal life to us who receive it." Now, this prayer demonstrates two things. One, it ritually reminds us that both the body and blood contain the fullness of Christ, the two elements of the body and blood. That no matter if we receive only the host at Mass, or if we only receive from the chalice, we are receiving both Jesus' body and blood in both of them, even if we don't receive from both elements. And that we are not lacking anything if we do not receive from both the host and the chalice. But as the prayer says, both are mingled together, even if by appearance they are separate. So in both the body and blood, Jesus is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Now, the second lesson, which comes in the second part of this prayer, is what purpose this heavenly food, the Eucharist, is for. And that is to bring us to eternal life in heaven. That's a reminder that the Eucharist is food for our journey towards heaven. And it is meant to strengthen us and renew us to go back into the world and not fall prey to sin and temptation. But it's also to strengthen us to perform acts of charity. That is food that doesn't just strengthen us physically to do physical work, but spiritual work as well, acts of love. And so whenever we receive the Eucharist, our hearts and minds gaze towards the future, towards heaven, past the temporal things of this world to the eternal things of heaven. And so all of these elements are contained in that short part of the Mass known as the fraction rite. Okay, that is part one. On to part two. Today we're celebrating what is called the first scrutiny. And this is for those who are preparing to enter into the church on the Easter Vigil. And they're here with us today. And so you may have noticed that today we have, at this particular Mass, we have different readings than all the other readings at Mass for this purpose. And then after the homily, we will be praying for these candidates and catechumens, and anointing them with oil of catechumens to strengthen them for this final month until they become full members of the church. And so because of this, today's homily is actually addressed to you, candidates and catechumens who are here with us today. For while you are not full members of the church yet, your presence and journey of faith is a reminder to all of us the great gift that our Catholic faith is. And so do not be unaware that your journey to Christ and his church has only been a personal journey for you, but it is also an inspiring one and reignites our own faith as well. And so your journey is affecting us. So first of all, I want to say thank you, and thank you for all the hidden work you have done to reach this point. I know it can be difficult to have to leave Mass halfway through for your studies and leave this community, and yet we so anxiously look forward to the day that you will, that Easter Vigil day, when you will be joining us. For you remind us what we have in our faith, and that you also remind us of what we don't have, and that's actually a good thing. For you embody the Samaritan woman that we hear in our gospel. For like the Samaritan woman, you have spent your life going to the various wells of the world, looking for water that will quench this thirst in your heart for God, community, and family. And while these worldly wells may have temporarily curbed your thirst, you soon found yourself thirsty once again. And so I imagine that there have been days where, like the Israelites in the desert in our first reading, you have grumbled, wondering if you would ever find a water that would satisfy you. Then, by the grace of God, you heard of a well rumored to hold such water, and you dared to ask, as the Samaritan woman did, where can I find this well? Where can I get this living water? Perhaps it was a spouse, family member, friend, yourself, even God himself, but you were led to the wellspring of the Catholic Church. And as you began to learn more about the Catholic Church, perhaps you also began to wonder, could this be what I have been looking for? Dare I hope that I have found the well of living water? Could this finally fulfill this mysterious thirst of my heart in which all other wells could not? This is a difficult question to wrestle with, for often in our life of faith, we wonder, do I dare believe? For is not everything our faith has to offer almost too good to be true? That God would not only become one of us, take our sins upon himself, suffer and die for us, all out of a passionate love for us, but that he loves us so much that he cannot even wait for us to die and join him in heaven, but he gives us the very church in which we sit in, the sacraments to partake in. He becomes literal food and drink for us so that he can be with us right now. He cannot stand to wait. And yet still, in your journey, you may have become tired of going from well to well, which has promised to satisfy you and hasn't, and only to be left unsatisfied. And so you may be wondering, can I get my hopes up again, or will they only be dashed? Will this well be like all the others I have gone to? To which St. Paul in our second reading reminds us, hope does not disappoint. Candidates and catechumens, you have found the well of the living water, not only here at St. Dominic, but in the Catholic Church, and you will not be disappointed. Our faith is too good to not be true. And the thirst you feel in your heart will be quenched on that glorious Easter Vigil which is now only weeks away. You will, as St. Paul says, have the love of God poured into your hearts. What a beautiful line that is. God's love poured into your hearts. And this living water. And each and every time you partake of the sacraments, you come to Mass, you go to prayer, and receive this God of love in the Eucharist, this love will be poured into your hearts over and over and over again. And I'm sure that you are anxious for this outpouring, this thirst in your heart. And so I'd like to remind you that God brings such marvelous fruit from your journey. Like the Samaritan woman who, upon finding the well of living water, runs to tell all that she can find. So you are reminding us, all of us here, that no other well out there comes close to comparing to the water found at this altar. Because for us who have been Credo Catholic, this can be a temptation at times. Sadly, we can think that other wells might have something we want. But you remind us from your journey of going from well to well that such a temptation has no weight. That what we are searching for is right here. And so thank you again. Thank you for renewing our own faith, for reminding us and maybe even challenging us to consider how we may have been taking for granted the well that we have, and know of our final prayers for you in these final weeks, and our own anxious joy for you to join us at this altar, this wellspring, and receive what all of us have dared to hope for, the living water, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord.